Christ the Lord is risen today. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Soar we now where Christ has led. All wonderful, powerful words that we sing with great joy in our hearts, wonder in our voices. But I wonder, are we living as if Christ the Lord is risen today? Are we experiencing the joy and the grace and the abundant life that Jesus really comes to bring into all the situations, trials, and celebrations of our life? Are we recognizing the opportunities that God gives us in the unexpected moments in which we live? A lot to think about. Not only a lot to sing about, but a lot to think about and to let come alive in our lives in real ways. And that's kind of what's happening with Peter. Jesus continues to reach out to him time and time again. This is the third time here today, third time following the resurrection that we're hearing about today, that Jesus has appeared to his disciples. Again, focusing on Peter, knowing that Peter's wrestling with the fact that he denied knowing who Christ was, that he had turned away from him when he needed him the most. Knowing that Peter was going to need to experience forgiveness in order for God's promise to come alive in his life. Because if you remember, months, years, a couple years before, Jesus had made a promise to Peter. After Peter had recognized him as the Christ and his faith really began to come alive, Jesus had changed his name from Simon to Peter, and he said, "You know, you're going to be the rock on which I'm going to build my church." And in a very real way, Peter did become the rock and is the rock on whom God continued to build his church. One of the earliest saints to really be a part of building a church. Being that first one to speak out boldly when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So filled with the Spirit of God that when he walked through the streets and the gates of Jerusalem, his shadow would fall on people and healing would happen. Peter had a powerful relationship with the resurrected Lord. He experienced God's grace and shared God's grace in many mighty ways. And much of that foundation was laid right here on the beach along the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. We heard how Jesus encountered him after that long night of fishing and not catching anything, and offers them a catch that they just can't turn away. That again, like it had before, threatens to swamp their boat and tear open their nets. And then he invites them up onto the shore. He's reorganized the whole space for them. Rather than an empty beach, there's a wonderful campfire that's not only burning, but has been burning for a while. Because there's coals that are glowing and already cooking fish before they even bring them ashore. And there's bread waiting for them. Bread that they wouldn't sit there and look at and wonder about, but that Jesus would just break and share with them like he had so many times before. And now we look at what happens when they finish eating. Beginning at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And so Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And then the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" By this time, Peter's starting to get tired. He's starting to get frustrated. And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And so Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. And I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked him, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that the disciple wouldn't die. But Jesus did not say that he wouldn't die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things, who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. And Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. May God continue to add His blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and to the coming alive of His Word in our lives today, and in this world that we live in today. "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you truly love me?" Peter answers not once, not twice, but three times, "Of course I do. You know that. We spent a lot of time together, Jesus, and you know how I feel." Jesus offers him a very simple answer. A very simple piece of advice to do with that. He says, "Go feed my sheep. Go feed my lambs. Go take care of my sheep. Go take care of my people, Peter. If you really love me, then go take care of the others now." Jesus is really, again, setting up that passing of the baton to the new leaders and the rise of new leaders that are rising up in the church. There's some wonderful new authority that's being released here into Peter's life, but he has no idea what it's going to mean, even though Jesus has alluded to it. You know, Peter was the one that he was really known for, that faith that just jumped right out in your face. When Jesus said, "I need somebody to go do this," Peter was the first one with his hand in his face saying, "Here I am, send me." He was the first one that, when Jesus said, "Who am I?" He was the first disciple to say, "Well, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God." And there were many times that when Jesus would step out and really begin to explain to them about the importance of what was coming ahead and about how He was going to die and how painful a time it was going to be for them, Peter was always the one that was right there saying, "Lord, what in the world are you talking about? That can't be the way it's going to happen. We don't want it that way." He was the one that when Jesus wanted to wash His feet, He said, "No, you can't do that." And Jesus said, "I have to." And He said, "Okay, then wash all of me." Peter always wanted it His way. He always wanted it His way. And Jesus says here today, that's going to change. You've reached out, you've stepped out in faith, you've been bold, but you've always done it your way, but now it's going to be different. The time is coming when there's people going to lead you where you don't want to go. And when Jesus said, "Follow me," He meant all the way to the cross. Because Peter was one of the few that's the way he actually died. While each and every one was martyred in a different way, Peter was martyred on the cross. Although he was hung upside down because he didn't consider himself to be worthy to be crucified in the same way as Christ. But in a very real way, Jesus was calling him to be crucified right here from the beginning on the beach. He's telling him, "If you're going to feed my sheep, if you're going to take care of my lambs, you're going to have to put their needs ahead of yours. You're going to have to reach out and to do things that might not seem normal. You might have to care for people that make you uncomfortable." Jesus gets him ready here on the beach for all the things that he's going to be a part of as the church explodes when the Holy Spirit is poured out. How does Jesus call us to follow Him? Where is He meeting you right now in your life? Can you hear Him asking you, do you truly love me? Do you hear Him? Saying, Bill, do you love me? Wilder, do you love me? Becky, do you love me? Amy, do you love me? Robin, do you love me? Lisa, do you love me? Put your name in there for a minute and hear Jesus asking that question this morning. And feel that response. Then go and feed my lambs. Then go and care for my people. Go and share my love that's never going to end. And there's nothing can keep it down. Not even death can bring it to an end. People have tried all down through the ages, but it's never happened. God's grace and love continues to be poured out in many wonderful ways every day. I want to share with you a quick story about that, about sharing unconditional love in an unexpected way. It's a story that a father shared at a fundraising dinner for a school that serves children with learning disabilities. He extolled the school and its dedicated staff. And then he talked about how he offers up this question. He says, when not interfered with by outside influences, everything nature does is done with perfection. Yet my son Shay cannot learn things as other children do. He cannot understand things as other children do. Where is the natural order of things in my son? The audience was stilled by this question. And the father went on to say, I believe that when a child like my son Shay, who was mentally and physically disabled, comes into the world, an opportunity to realize true and human nature presents itself. And it comes in the way that other people treat that child. And then he goes on to tell the story of how he and Shay were walking past a park one day. There were some boys that were playing baseball on the field. And Shay looked out into the field and he looked up at his dad and he said, Dad, do you think they'll let me play? I knew most of the boys would not want someone like Shay on their team. But as a father, I also understood that if my son were allowed to play, it would give him a much needed sense of belonging. It would give him some confidence to be accepted by others in spite of all the handicaps he had to deal with every day. So I approached one of the boys in the field and I asked him, not really expecting much, if Shay could play. The boy looked around for guidance and he said, we're losing by 6 runs. The game is in the eighth inning. I guess he can be on our team. And we'll try to put him to bat in the ninth. Shay struggled over to the team's bench. He had a huge smile on his face as he put on a team shirt. His dad watched him with a small tear in his eye and warmth in his heart. And the other boys noticed the joy that was shining out from this dad in this moment. In the bottom of the eighth inning, Shay's team scored a few runs, but they were still behind by 3. In the top of the ninth, Shay put on a glove and he played in right field. Even though no hits came his way, he was obviously ecstatic just to be in the game and on the field, grinning from ear to ear as he waved to his dad from the stand up in the stands. In the bottom of the ninth inning, Shay's team scores again. Now there's 2 outs. The bases are loaded. The potential winning run was on base. Who do you suppose is coming up next? Anybody? Shay, you got it. So what are they going to do? The dad's wondering deep in his heart, what are they going to do? I mean, all logic says you find a pinch hitter. This kid doesn't even know how to hold the bat. Say nothing about how to let it connect with the ball. But much to his surprise, they give him a chance to bat and give away their chance to win the game. But surprisingly, something new happens. As he comes to the plate, the pitcher realizes what's going on. He realizes that this other team is putting aside their chance at winning. So he steps off of the mound and he gets a little bit closer to the plate. And as he watches Shay try to get the bat in his hand, he kind of lobs the ball in. And he swings and he misses. So this pitcher takes that as a cue to come a little bit closer. To lob it a little bit higher and a little bit slower. And much to everyone's surprise, and especially to Shea's surprise, he connects with the ball. And he grounds the ball right back to the pitcher. All the pitcher's got to do is pick the ball up and throw it to first base. The game's over and they win. It's a simple throw. Anybody could have made it. But the ball went sailing over the first baseman's head where he couldn't even begin to grab it. And Shea, who had never run as far from first base, as far as first base in his life, ran with all of his heart. And everybody there started crying out, "Run, Shea, run!" And he made it to first, and they told him to go for second, as the first baseman picked the ball up and flipped it to the right fielder, who throws it to the second baseman, who misses the ball. And Shea runs second, and they're yelling, some of them are starting to yell, "Shea, you can do it, you can make it!" And so he rounds second base and gets confused and doesn't even know where to go. So the third baseman grabs a hold of him and points him towards the base, and he says, "It's over there." And so they all keep yelling, "Third base, Shea, you can do it, you can make it." And suddenly he finds himself coming around third base, and everybody in the stands is standing up screaming, "Shea, run home! Run home, you can make it!" And he does, as the ball continues to bounce around the field. He makes it to the plate, steps right dead smack in the middle of it all. And his teammates lifted him up on their shoulders. Shea was a hero that day. His father was so proud of him and so excited for him. His mother wept when he came home and told her the story. And everyone in that school that night wept. His dad told him how he didn't make it to another summer. And Shea had died a hero that winter. He died a hero because of the kingdom of possibilities that was revealed right there on a ball field. When the dad stepped out and encouraged these boys to give him a chance. And when the team didn't give in to the need to be successful and to score the most runs. And really became winners by giving this boy a chance to bat. And do you see how those possibilities spread? Do you see how it was infectious and one person after another gets involved with it? Jesus, through His life, His death, His resurrection, and by the power of the Holy Spirit today, continues to come and to make the kingdom of God known to a broken and hurting world, the same broken and hurting world that you and I live in every day. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom that is filled with possibilities. And they come in the most unexpected ways and when we least expect it. And they come when one person's willing to step out of the way and sacrifice for somebody else. And put the needs of somebody else ahead of their own. How does Jesus call you to feed His sheep today? What lambs will you be called to care for in the week that lies ahead? What unexpected moments will open up the door and reveal a kingdom of possibilities to somebody that's hurting as you meet them in this week that we have ahead? Jesus says, "Do you truly love me? Then go and feed my sheep. Go and care for my people. Go and make known this kingdom of possibilities that people can never know on their own." Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Good and gracious God, we give You thanks for Your incredible love, for Your incredible mercy, for Your incredible grace that comes to us in so many different ways through the resurrection and by the Holy Spirit that's poured out following. Lord, You've gathered us here for a reason today. You meet each and every one of us right where you're at and inviting us, and You invite us to look deep into our hearts to say that we love You. And Lord, You call us to go from this place. And You call us to let that love come alive. And to take wing and to just come alive in actions in ways that we don't even know yet. So Lord, remove anything and everything that would separate us from You this morning. Help us to open up our hearts and our minds and let You come alive in us and through us in a fresh new way. Help us to pay attention to all the opportunities that You give us to make a difference for people. And give us the courage and the boldness to step out in faith when they do. We thank you, Lord, for your love that never ends. We thank you for meeting us here today. And Lord, we look forward to what only you can do with it all, as we ask you these things and so much more. In Jesus' resurrected name. Amen.